Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I do want to let you know the program's brought to you by the financial support of our listener. And I particularly want to thank Rosaline, Michael, Edie, and Jennifer so much for their support. You can support the program, support.greatdetectives.net. Also a mailing address. You can mail in a donation instructions at that website. And also, all donations of $7 or more will send access to the premium site. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Nick Carter. The original air date, November the 17th, 1947. The title, The Case of the Bearded Queen.
Oh, thanks.
You've just solved the mystery. All we've got to do now is catch the killer.
Oh, but how do we do that, Nick?
By turning you into a ghost.
By turning me into a what?
Patsy, I'm going to make you up into the scariest ghost that was ever seen. And tonight, you're going to haunt a chess club. Now for the case of the Jeweled Queen. Today's adventure starring Lon Clark as Nick Carter, brought to you by new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser. In his small basement apartment, cluttered with chess books and chess sets, old Jeremy Hawthorne sits over a chessboard and listens absently while two hard-eyed men talk to him.
Will you listen to me, Hawthorne?
Oh, yes, yes, of course, Mr.
He told you his name twice already, pal. This here's my boss, Mr. Monk.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Monk.
I swear if you don't pay attention,
I'll... That'll do, Cruz.
Okay.
Huh? Yes, bishop to queen, bishop to all, the only possible move. Unless, knight to rook five.
Also, and I got $1,000 for you, eh?
What's that?
$1,000?
What? They woke him up.
Look, you remember the old National Chess Club, the old Marble Mansion on East 20th?
Oh, yes, do I not. I'm the last surviving member. Ah, what great old days we had at the club. It's been closed now for, let me see.
For 40 years, and it's been falling to pieces all that time.
Yes, yes, that's right. If it hadn't been for that terrible scandal, the club would still
Look,
be...
Look, I'm not interested in the club or its scandals. I'm interested in you.
Oh, you're a chess player, Mr.?
No, I'm the guy with $1,000. I'll pay it to you.
But for what?
For your right title and interest in the club.
My dear sir, you're cheating yourself. There isn't anything in the club but old books and old furniture. Hardly worth $50, let alone...
Look, I'll pay you $1,000 for everything in the building. Everything that's your property as the last surviving member. All you have to do is sign this release.
Oh, Mr. Monk, this is ridiculous. The place is a liability.
But maybe so, Hawthorne. You just sign the paper and take this $1,000. I'll take the liability. Oh, by the way, Patsy, I haven't asked you to marry me for over 2 weeks. How about...
Oh, please, Gubby. Don't you ever get tired of hearing me say no?
Why, Patsy, Hey, Nick, stop the car, quick, Gubby.
What's the matter?
I just remembered something.
A murder?
Oh, you yell as though there were 10 murders.
Well, arson thrown in.
Oh, no, it's nothing like that. I just remembered old man Hawthorne.
Hawthorne?
Yeah, he lives right here. That basement apartment, Scubby. Who, what, and why is old man Hawthorne? He's a guy I play chess with by mail.
Oh, now I've heard everything.
No, no kidding, Patsy. I'm up to my neck in a red-hot correspondence game with Hawthorne. And I just remembered I forgot to mail him my latest move.
Hey, get back in the car, chess champion. We're late for dinner already. I'll lend you a postcard.
Won't take a second, Nick. I'll be right back.
He'll
probably fling open the door and howl, check.
And scare old man Hawthorne to death.
Patsy, did I ever tell you the story about the man who won a chess game because he couldn't talk cannibals?
Another Nick Carter special on the way.
It seems this man was captured by cannibals down in New Guinea. Uh-huh. And while they were boiling the pot...
Hey, Nick! But Scubby, what's the matter with him?
It doesn't sound as though he's making a chess move either.
Hey, Nick! Nick, you gotta come into Hawthorne's place right away. This is awful.
What's the matter, Scubby? Need advice on your next move?
I'll say I do. Hawthorne's dead.
Oh!
He's committed suicide.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hawthorne's dead, all right.
He climbed up on a chair and hanged himself from one of the water pipes.
But why, Nick? Stubby says he didn't have a problem in the world.
Well, not outside of chess. Well, he just lived for his chess problems. The old guy was happy.
Yes.
That's what's bothering me.
What?
Look at this note Hawthorne apparently left here on the chess table. Neatly printed in ink. I'm 80 years old and I'm tired. Chess is a bore. There's nothing left.
Nick, why did you say Hawthorne apparently left the note?
Because the note is printed in ink.
So what? Hawthorne's got an ink stain on his forefinger.
True enough, Scubby, but tell me this. Where's the ink bottle?
The what?
The bottle of ink. And the pen Hawthorne used. Or the fountain pen.
Oh.
Or anything that'll write in ink.
Holy smoke, you're right.
I've been through this room thoroughly, and there isn't any ink. So how could Hawthorne write that note?
Well, maybe there's a pen in his pocket.
No, no, I've searched him. There's nothing on it but some small change and a handkerchief.
Then he didn't write that note.
No, Scubby, he positively did not. Some kind friend obligingly wrote that note for Hawthorne with his own pen, and then kindly helped Hawthorne commit suicide.
What? You mean that someone murdered him?
Go to the head of the class, Betsy.
Oh.
But he was harmless. Why would anyone want to kill a nice old man like that?
That, Scubby, is what I'd like to find out.
So would I. Where do we start?
Well, here's the picture as I see it. Now, Someone was here with Hawthorne just before he was murdered.
Uh-huh.
Someone who had the pen that Hawthorne used to write with.
Accounting for the ink stain on the finger.
Right.
But what did Hawthorne write?
Well, certainly not the suicide note. That was written for him after he was killed. Now, when this... This is interesting.
Hmm?
What?
There on the floor, under Hawthorne's feet. The rhinestone medallion, see? With a letter M in the center.
A medallion with the letter M.
Recognize it, Scotty?
Sure I do. That's from the Club Monk.
The nightclub on the west side?
Yeah. There's a dancer there named Jenny Valentine. She does a solo tap dance and throws these souvenirs to the customers.
Oh, what would an old chess player be doing in a nightclub catching souvenirs?
You mean, what would a nightclub dancer be doing in Hawthorne's room playing chess?
Nick, maybe that medallion's the key to this murder.
Could be, Scotty. Hey, look, you kids stand by and wait for Matty and the homicide squad.
Uh-huh. Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going down to the Monk Club and try to catch a souvenir.
Mr. Monk?
Is what okay?
Well, the money I owe you, the $5,000.
Oh, no.
But I told you how to get the queen. Didn't you believe me?
Yeah.
Well, did you see Hawthorne? Did you buy it from him?
Yeah. You owe the club $6,000 now.
Well, what do you mean?
Now, listen, sonny. You come here to the club and you drop $5,000. You can't pay, so you hand me a story about this. This bequest your uncle left to the chess club.
Well, it's true, I swear. The club was closed before they had a chance to find out what he gave him. They never knew what they had. Mr. Monk, that queen is worth $20,000, maybe
$30,000. Okay.
Well, that was the deal. If I steered you into it, you'd cancel the money I owe you.
Listen, punk, the word was if.
It's what you said.
Silas, I haven't got the queen yet. It cost me another $1,000 already. If I get it, you're clear. Get that through your head, Hopkins. I don't sucker so easy for fancy stories.
Well, sure, but after all, I want to...
Mom! Mom! Quit yelling, will you? Everybody in the club can hear you. You're making so much noise.
Oh, hiya, Jenny.
Hello, Hopkins.
Hello.
Oh. Don't you love me anymore?
No.
Now, that's a man for you. Chasing after me for 3 months solid. And all of a sudden, bump, the freeze. Don't be mad at me, Hoppy.
You played me for a sucker, Jenny. $5,000 worth of sucker.
Why, Hopple?
Go ahead and grin. I'm going to the bar, and I hope I never see you again.
Go ahead. Monk, baby.
Yeah?
Got the dope, you Hawthorne?
Everything's okay.
And we got the queen.
Tonight, baby. I'm going over with Cruz.
Are you gonna... You can take care of him?
You just leave that to me, honey. From tomorrow on, it's just gonna be you and me and 40 grand.
Oh, God, Mom.
Look, better go up to your dressing room now. Cruz may get ideas if he sees
me. Say it again. Say it again about you and me, Monk.
You and me and 40 grand.
Oh, honey. You say the sweetest thing.
Oh, maybe you're all right to wait in your dressing room.
Shall we say, an admirer?
Perhaps, in a way.
You're very good looking. You, like my dance?
I haven't seen it, so I wouldn't know.
Then what are you hanging around my dressing room for?
Miss Valentine, I'm Nick Carter.
The detective?
That's right.
Now get out of here.
I'm not quite ready to leave yet, Miss Valentine. I'd like to ask you about this medallion.
Huh? What about it?
Why'd you give it to Jeremy Hawthorne?
Look, I throw hundreds of those things around every night, but I just know who catches them.
Of course, Miss Valentine, but you do know Hawthorne.
But I don't.
Don't deny it. You showed it on your face when I mentioned his name.
Get out of here.
I came up here to ask you what you know about a chess player who had the misfortune...
Janet Carter, I'll ask the questions around here.
Oh, hello, Monk. Do I also say hello to the 45 you're playing with?
Make one fancy play, Carter, and you can get intimate with a slug.
Don't you knock when you sneak into dressing rooms?
No. Besides, you and I are going to sneak right out.
Monk, I think...
Now, look, this is my play, Jenny. Let me tell you.
Okay, but listen...
Get on your feet, Carter. We're going up to my office.
All right.
It's nice and soundproof up there. We can play just as rough as you want to. And if you want to play some parlor games, that's all right, too.
There's just one game I'm not in the mood for, Monk.
Oh, what's that?
Two men play it with a gun or a rope. It's called murder. So, Nick was right in his guess that Hawthorne was known to both Jenny and Monk. We'll see where that leads him in just a moment when we hear what Monk has to tell him in his private soundproof office. Now, back to the case of the Jeweled Queen. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by new post-war Old Dutch cleanser. At the point of a gun, Nick is ushered into Monk's soundproof office on the second floor of the Monk Club. Monk closes the door sharply and...
Sit down, Carter.
Thanks.
Now listen. I had trouble with you before. I know you're a smart cookie, and I know you're dangerous. That's why I use a rod when you're around.
Put your cards on the table, Monk.
Carter, this is one deal that's on the level.
What deal?
The deal with Hawthorne.
Oh? Well, this is very interesting. Go ahead, Monk. Sing your song.
Well, a rich kid named Hopkins got in the red for me for $5,000. So he couldn't pay. And so his old man wouldn't hand over the dough. So Hopkins steers me into a deal to squirt.
What deal?
You going for history, any?
I've read a book or two.
Well, get a load of this. Back in the 1500s, there was this English queen, Elizabeth.
I've heard of her.
Well, now, there was a tournament held in her honor once, a kind of joust. Now, Elizabeth was impressed with the way a guy by the name of Sir Charles Blount fought. She was so impressed that she sent him a present the next day. A chess piece. It was a jeweled queen.
Well, I think I've read the story.
Well, now, according to the books, Essex was so jealous of the gift, he had some fights to duel with Blount, and afterwards, the chess queen disappeared.
So I've heard.
Now, Carter, that queen's worth a fortune, and I own it. All legal, all fair, all square.
How so?
Well, Hopkins' uncle uncovered it 50 years ago. He sent it to the National Chess Club as a bequest, along with some books and stuff.
Well?
But he died right after that. Then the club went bust before they knew what they owned. That jewel queen is stored away somewhere in the club's cellar.
And you own it?
I do. Mm. I bought it fair and square from the last living club member, old Jeremiah Hawthorne. I got the bill of sale of the club property signed by him this afternoon for $1,000.
So that's how he got the ink stain on his finger.
What?
Nothing.
Now, tonight I'm going down to the clubhouse and get what I own. All legal and above board, right?
Except for one little detail, Monk.
Name it.
Somebody murdered Hawthorne.
Well, I... Get out of here. It's a dirty double-crossing.
Hawthorne's been murdered, and he didn't have $1,000 on him.
I told you to get out, and if you know what's good for you, Carter, don't try to hang this rap on me.
I won't have to, Monk. I'll just help you hang it on yourself.
Thanks. Don't you like the Monk Club, Mr. Carter?
Sure. I like it fine. But I don't like the people in it. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Carter. Come again soon.
Just a minute. What? Well, Mr. Alfred Cruz, isn't it? How are you, Alfred? Last time we met.
Carter, what do you want with Jenny?
Take your hand off me, Alfred.
What was you doing in Jenny's dressing room?
Don't see why that's any of your business.
It sure is. She's going to be my wife.
That so? When?
In a couple of months. She's a beautiful kid. Everybody chases her. Like that kid Hopkins, even Monk. I don't want you around her, too.
I have no intentions of chasing her, Alfred. Now, will you please get out of my way?
You don't bluff me with fancy talk, Carter. I swear I'll break your neck if you go near her. You want a sample?
You don't step aside, Alfred.
Yeah, I see how you like this.
I really hate to do this, Alfred.
When you get up again, I hope you'll have more temp.
Hey, Nick, come over to your car, quick. What's
the matter, Scubby?
I was coming down to meet you, and I saw your car just now, and we'll take a look inside.
Don't tell me you've discovered him.
Good heavens. Johnny Valentine. Dead.
Jenny Valentine.
Oh, stop pacing, Nick. You're making the office whirl around in circles.
Nick, I'm scared. Why'd you bring Jenny back in the car? Why haven't you reported her murder to Maddie?
I'm going to just as soon as I figure this out.
Oh, but Nick...
Maybe I was meant to find her and report it.
But she's still out in your car. If anybody finds her...
I know. Found it. She was in the back seat with her neck twisted, strangled. As though she'd come to the car and was waiting to speak to me after I left the club.
Only the killer came along and spoke to her first.
Nick, you've got to do something.
I know I do. I'm trying to think.
Well, my money's on Monk. He's army.
Maybe.
Oh, did Jenny tell you anything that could help?
No. Although she was friendly enough, till she found out who I was.
This I already know.
How?
Oh, I know a clue when I see it. See that big smudge of powder and makeup she left on Nick's sleeve?
Powder and makeup on my... Patsy, you're magnificent. You've solved the case.
I've solved...
You've just told me who murdered Hawthorne and Jenny Valentine. Now all we've got to do is catch him.
But how?
By turning you into a ghost.
By turning me into a what?
Patsy, I'm going to make you up into the scariest ghost that I've ever seen. And tonight, you're going to haunt a chess club.
I guess Hawking just right, Cruz. All through this old chess club. Stuff must be stored down in the cellar.
Okay, come on.
Look, Hawthorne said it's in a big packing case. It's stenciled Hopkins.
Yeah. Yes, it's a rat thing. They can print off.
Well, rats can eat books, but they can't eat gold and diamonds.
You keep telling yourself.
No. Take it easy. This is the bottom. Flash around your light. Huh.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah?
Over there against the wall. See? On a case. It says Hopkins.
Okay, come on. It's falling to pieces. Come on, get it open.
Easy, Mark. I'll just take a second.
A blue velvet box. That's what the kid said. The size of a cigar box.
It's your shirt. I'll find it if it's here. There it is.
Okay. All right, hand it over.
What's your hurry? I'm as much interested in what's in here as you are.
Look, I got news for you, Cruz. You're not taking it out of here.
What?
I'm taking the queen, Cruz, and I'm leaving you behind.
Oh, you're dirty. Put away that rod.
Jenny wants it that way, Cruz. It's too bad, pal. Give me the queen.
Dirty double cross. You and Jenny ain't gonna cross me up. Walk out.
Monk and Cruz stand in the depths of the cellar, staring up at the head of the stairs in horror. We'll hear what happens next in just a moment. Now for the conclusion of the case of the Jeweled Queen. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by New Post-War Old Dutch Grandeur. As Monk and Cruz stand transfixed in the cellar of the National Chess Club, Nick whispers to Patsy, who stands at the head of the stairs in a glowing green drape. And Patsy...
Boom! Look! At the top of the stairs! Look!
It's the same. She's coming down the stairs.
She's coming down towards us.
Hey, wait a minute, Monk.
She looks like...
Holy smokes, it's Jenny.
Hey, for the love of mud, Dave, what are you trying to do? Play the Phantom of the Opera?
That ain't Jenny.
Good if I can see her face.
It can't be, a fool.
No!
Let go of my arm.
Stop talking like Jenny, you're crazy.
It can't be Jenny. Jenny's dead.
She's dead.
How do you know that, Cruz?
Carter.
How do you know Jenny's dead? Only the man who killed her could know that.
But if Jenny's dead, who's this?
My assistant, Patsy Bowen, made up to look like Jenny. This bad light, she was able to fool you, just as I planned.
Cruz. You killed Jenny!
Yeah, wise guy. You thought you was gonna cross me up with her, huh? Make a sucker out of me like she made out of Hopkins. Well, I showed you, and I'll show you more.
Oh, you quiet, Cruz. It's too late.
Oh. Don't howl, Alfred. That shot just went through your arm. It'll heal by the time you're due to take 40,000 volts sitting down. That's right, Patsy. The old story of thieves falling out.
Huh? What do you mean, Nick?
Well, Cruz knew he was being double-crossed by Jenny and Monk, so he decided to return the favor and double-cross them.
Oh. Well, is that why he went back and killed Hawthorne after Monk made the deal?
Tried to frame Monk by dropping that medallion.
Mm-hmm.
Then to fix Jenny, he strangled her and left her in my car.
And in that way, he figured Monk would take the rap for Hawthorne's murder, and Jenny would be dead, and both would be out of his way.
Exactly.
Oh.
He selected Jewel Queen and lived happily ever after.
Golly. Nick, I still don't understand how I solved the case.
Why, Patsy, you did it when you saw that smudge of makeup on my arm.
Will you please explain?
I most certainly will explain. Patsy, the only person who could have touched me while I was in the Monk Club, who had makeup on his hand, was Cruz. Remember I told you how he knocked my arm?
Yeah, just before you hit him and knocked him down.
That's right. He must have smudged my arm with makeup, which means he must have got it on his hand from Jenny's neck.
Well, I'll be darned.
So he had to be the man who strangled her.
Yeah, but what about the Jewel Queen?
The Jewel Queen goes to Monk. He bought it legally, so he's entitled to it.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, don't feel bad, Patsy. If you want one, I'll buy you a dozen tomorrow.
A dozen?
Monk is out $6,000, dear. The velvet box contained one very elaborate chest cane made of wood. Value, about $1.50.
It wasn't the real Jewel Queen?
No, Patsy, it wasn't. Queen Elizabeth's chest piece is still at large, somewhere in the wide, wide world.
Well, maybe Cruz will be able to ask Her Majesty where it is after he sits down in the hot seat.
Patsy, that's not a nice thing to imply.
It isn't? Why not?
Well, I certainly hope good Queen Beth isn't in the same place Cruz is going to. Besides, by then it'll be too late to do him any good.
Welcome back. Well, I like them working in a little bit of actual history into the story, though the idea of a fake ghost is kind of a tired idea, even for a program from 1947. But anyway, let's get into some listener comments and feedback. Rosaline writes in, love your show, would be happy with a monthly sub if it were available. In the meantime, love from an Irish woman in England. Well, thanks so much, Rosaline. I have thought about setting up a Patreon. I know a lot of bloggers, podcasters, and such are doing that for people to send regular support. It's a growing trend, and I'm keeping it in mind. Thanks so much for the comment. And Edie writes, I love the show. It keeps me entertained when I'm on the road. Keep up the excellent work. Well, thanks so much, Edie. And then we do have at Mike D. Hokey on Twitter. Thanks so much for suggesting the show to a friend on Twitter. Really appreciate it. That will actually do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And then join us again next Thursday for another episode of Nick Carter. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.